Well, it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord and come together to worship, to be encouraged, to pray together, to hear from the Word of God. So I'm glad you're here. If you're visiting, we're glad that you are here as well. Hope that you feel at home because we sort of feel like you're at home. And we want to welcome each one. We're a growing church, and so we love for new people to come and be part of us. We are starting last week and this week, this series over the next 10 weeks, and it's on the new book that I've written, Is There More to Life Than Living? And last week we talked about get a life, We talked about the A. Do you remember what the A was? Alignment. Alignment, that we need to align with God. One of the main characteristics to receive His life, God's not going to change, folks. The only ones that's going to change, if you're going to be aligned with God, you need to change. And we come into alignment. We admit that we need the Lord, and we submit to Him. And that was last week. So that positions us to receive this new life that God has for us. And that's what this book is about. Is there more to life than living? Saying, yes, there is more to life. More than this natural life. There's a spiritual life. A life that God gives. And that life is for each and every one of us. And as we admit that we need the Lord and we come to Him, submit to His will, there's a flow of life that comes into us and transforms us. There's small groups meeting all this week, over the next 10 weeks. And the study guides have come in. And so your leader has your study guide, and they'll be passing it out at this week's small group. And we'll be going through this basically chapter by chapter in the small weeks and on the messages here on Sunday. And so it's a great time. Hope that you get part of a small group. If you haven't been part of a small group or you can't, the study guide would still be good for you to have. And just to take it on your own and to read through. It has questions. There's templates in there to help you apply. Because that's one of the hallmarks of my ministry. I love to teach. I love to share truths. But that is not an end within itself. Unless you apply it to your life, unless you're entering into it, unless you lay hold of it, it won't benefit you. And so these small groups that are meeting, the study guide is to help you to apply these truths to your life. So if you haven't gotten the book yet, do pick that up. It's at the back. The study guides are free for you to have, and you can use them during the small groups and so forth. All right, we want to continue. And if there is an insert in your bulletin, you can take it out, follow along with us. Our message this morning is making God visible. Making God visible. This life that you've received in you, God wants to make that visible. So let's look at, and here's your first fill-in. No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. Here's the verse, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible. He's invisible. You're not going to see Him with your natural eyes. He's invisible. And a God who alone is wise. Now, don't mean to extend that line very much, but when I read it, it's just inescapable that God says He alone is wise. See, many times we think we're wiser than God, but He's smarter than you are. He really is. He's got a plan for your life. He knows all about you. He doesn't mess up. He alone is wise. So if you're going to align with this God, you have to align with realizing He knows more than I do. He knows more about me than I know about myself. He knows what's good for me. And He's working things together for good. So that's your foundation. That's your standing. That's your alignment. And so you realize this God is eternal. He's outside of time and space. It's a different kind of life. You know, it says, is there more to life than living? Well, there's more than this natural life. It's more than the corpuscles and the the sinews and the ligaments and the veins that's in your body that you could put under a scientific microscope. There's more to you. There's a spiritual realm. God is invisible. He lives in that realm. And your natural eyes are not going to experience him. You're not going to hear. Now, sometimes God can do a miracle. He can do a miracle and show himself. The theological term is a theophany. God shows himself in a man-like appearance, like an angel or so forth. But you're not really seeing God. You're seeing a miracle of God representing him. Same when some people say, I heard the audible voice of the Lord. Well, you might have, but then God did a miracle. He made the sound waves in the air so that your natural ear would pick it up. Because God doesn't live in the natural realm. He is a spirit. You can't see him. He's everywhere present at once. He's here in this room. Now, the Lord wants us to realize there's more than this natural life. There's a spiritual life around us. And he's put in you a little radio receiver. It's a spiritual receiver. It's called your spirit. You see, there's more in this room than what we can think. You hear my voice, but there's other voices in this room. And all we have to do is have a radio receiver comes in and takes those frequencies down to the range that my ear hears us, so we can tune in radio stations and music. It's all here in the air, just that we don't see it. Same it is in the spiritual. There's a spiritual realm. God is all around us. We can't see it with our natural eyes. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. He talked to people who were alive, breathing, moving. You can imagine what they thought when Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I think, well, we already have life. So I've come to give you a different kind of life, an abundant life, a life that will influence and change every part of your being. Now, God has come. Now, his spirit in us, he's created us with that eternity inside, but because of our sin, it was turned off. It's like the radio receiver is turned off. So he's all around us, but most people don't even realize it. But when you are born again, your spirit comes alive, he turns it on, then you begin to sense this other realm around us. And so this is the essence of this book and the truth that it's conveying. There's a lot of people in this world who they don't know there's another realm, that there's more to life than just living a natural life. And so when people come and align, that alignment, surrender, saying, I need you, I know there's something more, and we respond, and we just yield to the Lord, now suddenly something happens. His life fills us and transforms us. Another verse is John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. So again, we're talking about another realm, a spiritual realm, that you're not going to see with your natural eyes. So, how do we know about this God? Well, how has God made himself visible in the past? Here's your next fill-in. God has shown himself through his spoken word. His spoken word. Creation. Here's how it words it. I'm going to jump down, I guess. It says... I'm going to jump down, and maybe you can bring up the verses in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to talk to you about why it calls it a Word. Because I am a being, and if I'm going to express myself to you, I do it through words. I speak words. You hear the words, and it translates into your mind. And so my words are me, and yet they're not me. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it says, and in the beginning, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So when God spoke and said, let there be light, he spoke something. He expressed himself. And through that expression, he created this natural world that we're living in. It's called that time-space continuum. Time-space. It's not absolute. Einstein showed us that time varies. The faster you go, time slows down. And so It's amazing that this world that God created, it was done through the Word. And so creation is an expression of God. The very realm we're living in is an expression of God through His spoken Word. When He said, let there be light, let the ground separate. And it says, as He spoke it, it happened. His spoken Word. Now let's go back to the verses that we find under in your fill-in, Romans 1:20. But since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, the things that were invisible, we can't see, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Through creation, you begin to get an idea of who God is like. Being understood by the things which are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so, we realize that if God created this world, then the Creator has to be outside of the world. The Creator is outside of the system. I remember reading a scientist who, when he came to this conclusion, that if this world was created, then the Creator had to be outside of the system. And immediately it made him realize there's another realm. There's a spiritual realm. You could call it whatever, but the Bible calls it's a spiritual realm. God, our creation, the very fact that there is a creation, it speaks to a Creator. And man can try to twist it and say, oh, no, it was just always here. But you can always back it up. Well, what was before that? What was before that? And you get to a point where, well, we don't know that answer. Well, the thing is, God created this world we're living in. And so we understand that God is eternal, lives in another realm just by looking at our creation of time, space. We also know that God is moral, because every person that lives on this earth has a moral code. It's innate within us. We know right from wrong. There's a basic sense. Now, you can warp that, twist it, callous it, but everybody starts with a sense of right and wrong. In fact, even the arguments against God speaks to His morality. They say, well, if there's a God, why does He allow this? Because we know, okay, there's something wrong. You wouldn't ask the question if there wasn't a moral God. There's no reason to say something's right or wrong if we just came from nothing. You know, we're just a cooling rock in the universe. You know, and so what makes something right, what makes something wrong? You'd think the thing that make it right would be when we're selfish. But we all know that's wrong. It's wrong to take another life. It's wrong to steal. We just know it. It speaks, the creation speaks and shows the attributes of God. God is moral. God is relational. He created us. We have the strongest need to relate to one another. And that all comes out of His love. Love is the oil of relationships. When we give ourselves for one another, God wants a relationship. In fact, no doubt that's why He created the worlds in the first place, to reveal Himself, to have relationship. And so we see all these things just because of the creation. And the Bible says you begin to get an idea of His invisible attributes by the things that are created. We could go on to several others, but let me just move on to the next thing. Next fill-in. God has shown Himself through the written word, the Bible. So the spoken word brought about creation, but then God moved on men by the Holy Spirit. And the scripture said they wrote, moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. They wrote things way ahead of their time. They wrote prophecies that they would have no way of knowing, and those prophecies came true because they were inspired by the Spirit, and that Spirit caused them to write words. We have it recorded for us here in the Bible. And so God has shown Himself to us through the written word. Now, in Isaiah chapter 2, I love this portion of Scripture, and we used to sing it as a song. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, this is an Old Testament setting where Israel was the embodiment of God's people, and he gave them the law, and he gave them the Old Testament, and they would go to Jerusalem, their capital, and the scribes would read the word to them, and they would learn the ways of the Lord, and then they would know how to live and walk in his paths. And the word of the Lord went forth from Jerusalem. I'm telling you, this is a great manual for life. You want to know about how to live? The written word of God reveals God to us. It tells us about our condition and how sin first came into the world. It shows us how we need to align ourselves with God. And through Jesus Christ, he provided a way for our sins to be dealt with, that we could come back into a relationship with God. The spiritual receiver could be turned on in our heart, and we could have a relationship with God. All of this is revealed to us through the written word. We know about God. God reveals himself to us through his word. And so the Bible is a tremendous source. Today, in our setting, we gathered here this morning, and we sang songs, and we encouraged one another, and now we're reading the scripture, and I'm going to teach out of the scripture, and hopefully you'll learn more of God's ways, and we'll walk in his paths, and the word of the Lord is going forth from Zion, and Zion is the metaphor for the church today. So all of the things that happened in that city of Zion, Jerusalem, is happening today through the church as we minister God's word. And now we have copies you can take home, and you can put it on your bedstand. You can open up and you can learn about God through his word. The written word. Another way God has revealed himself to us. Now, there's another way God has revealed himself to us, and these ways just get better and better as time goes on. We go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And so forth. And then it goes on. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word that was first spoken and then it was written has now become living. The word became flesh. Jesus is called the Word of God. He's manifested God to us. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Look at Colossians here, verse 1 and verse 15. He is the image of this invisible God, the firstborn of all. Over all creation. So now we have the Word, God, manifest in flesh so that we can look at the life of Jesus. We know the compassion of God because we see the compassion of Jesus. We see what angers God because we see how Christ was angered by hypocrisy in the religious leaders of their day, of his day, leading the people astray. He cleansed the temple because they had lost its true meaning and we're just merchandising in the temple. So we see what God is like by looking at Jesus. He was the expressed image of his being. So it's good now to read the written word to find out about the living word, because we're not living back there, but it's recorded for us and we see how Jesus is. We need to read it. We need to read it with new eyes. This will reveal to me what God is like. So again, this is how God has made himself visible over time. Well, what about now? Jesus is gone. He's not here. What about now? Well, the Bible tells us, and here's your next fill-in. God is showing himself through his church. Through his church. The church is called the body of Christ. It says he's the head, we're the body. When Jesus lived on the earth, the head was physically on a body, and he walked from place to place. He stretched out his hand and healed people. People tried to get to where he was, but now he ascended into heaven. He said, it's far better I go away, because now my spirit's going to be poured out on you, and now every individual is going to become an expression of me. We're his body. Now when his hand is stretched out, It's your hand, Christ in you, stretching out his hand. Now when he's going to speak, he's going to speak through your words. Because you are the body of Christ. God is showing himself now to the world, making himself visible through the church. Man, that's powerful. That's our calling. This is what having the new life is all about. Having his life in us. And as a result, we have to die to our old life so his life could live through us. When we become a Christian and align ourselves and say we need a Savior, we say, when he died on the cross, that's where I died. So we baptize and we're baptized and we buried the old life symbolically. The old life is buried. But now I live, rise to live a new life. Christ is in me and he's living it out through us. That's what you're called to. That's what it's all about. God is now making himself visible through you. You don't sound near as excited as you should. Really, this is what it's all about. It's not about you. It's not about your work. It's not about what you're going through. The excitement of the Christian life is God is now showing himself through me. Now, here's how it words it. The verse here is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. And I have it written in the English Standard Version. Here's what it says. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose. This was his eternal purpose. That he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus was the expressed image to show it forth to the world. And now we are the extension of Christ. We're the extension of the incarnation. We are his body on earth today. And through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. To who? To rulers and authorities in heavenly places, to the world. He's going to show himself. Now, this word manifold is from a Greek word. And the Greek word, in many translations, is translated multicolored. That through the church, the multicolored aspects of the wisdom of God is now going to be made known to the world. And this was his eternal purpose. This is why he created us in the first place, to make himself visible. First, that we would know it. We would receive this life because in him was life and the life was the light of the world. We first know it and then we show it forth to others. Now, if you've read the book, you realize that I illustrate that verse by going back to a physics experiment that happened when I was in grade 13. There was a grade 13 when I was growing up. And so we went through grade 12 and grade 13 and went on to university. But grade 13, I remember doing this physics experiment where they took light, white light, they shone it through a prism, which is a hunk of glass, a triangular hunk of glass. They shone it through the prism. The prism bends the light because the wavelengths travel at different speeds through the glass. And so it actually bends the light. Breaks it into different wavelengths, and every wavelength is a different color. Then they put a screen out on this side of so the light came into the prism. It shone through the prism and put the color spectrum out on the screen. How many remember that experiment? Sure. I never did understand the colored aspects of it, but they told me there was colors. There's some colors I see. If you read the book, you'll know what I'm talking about. That experiment illustrates this verse so well. God is that white light that you can't see the colors in, but he wants to make himself visible. He wants to make himself seen. He wants his different attributes to be seen to the screen of the world. So he shines himself through your life, and your life, your experiences, your personality, family you grew up in, your talents and abilities, you are a unique, hunk of glass. You really are. Where none of us are alike. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different aspects. And God wants to uniquely show himself through you so that the world will see the many different aspects of God. You are a unique expression. No one is like you. Don't try to be different. Oh, I wish I was like that person. Wish I was like that person. They already are that way. God wants to do it through you. You're made special. You're designed special. He knows everything about you. And he wants to shine his light, which is in him was life, and the life was the light of the world. So when God puts his life within you by his Spirit, he's wanting to shine that through you so that the different aspects of God is made visible to the world. That's our calling. That's his eternal purpose. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's about. It's not about you. It's about his life in you, through you. Now, when you lay hold of this, it'll transform you. You'll see what your purpose is. Your purpose is not to pray to get God to enhance your natural life. Your purpose is to let God shine through your life in your unique way so that he gets honor and he gets glory. That's what it's all about. That's his eternal purpose. Now let's go on and see if we can just flesh this out a little bit. Well, let's read Galatians 2:20 because it all fits here. I might as well read the verse we have. And many of you have heard this. If you were baptized here, I always go over this verse in the baptism instruction. This is Paul writing this church. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. So if you realize Christ died for me on the cross, it's no longer I am living. He took my place. So we, as I said, through baptism, we bury our old life. Now we're going to rise to live a new life. Now this is what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this life I'm now living now, right here, it's not about you because you died and you buried your old life. And now every day you get up, you take up your cross and you die again. Die to your ideas, die to your wants, because now I have a new life. He's expressing himself through me. My purpose is to let God show himself through me. And we do it by faith, because this is not something that overwhelms you. You have to, by faith, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within you that's prompting you, so you don't respond in your natural way. Now you respond the way God wants you to respond. And he shows himself uniquely through you. Now again, this is the purpose of God. This is your prime responsibility as a Christian. But many times we don't realize our purpose. So when we go through a difficult time, we react in the natural. We just react. And we live out our old life. And it's not glorifying to anyone. It's ugly. Now we need to say, I got to die to that old way of responding. Because now his words want to come through me. His actions want to come through me. His thoughts want to come through me. I want his feelings to come through me. This is what I am meant to be now in the world. Now, this next part, I think, will really help you. It helped me when I thought about this week. Here's your fill-in. Your life is a novel made into a movie. Your life is a novel made into a movie. Who wrote the novel? God, who's the author. Now listen to what it says here in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. An epistle is a letter. We talk about the epistles of Paul. It's the letters of Paul. So he says, you're a letter. God's written something about you. You are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables or tablets of stone, or let's say today, not on paper, or not on a computer digital thing. He's not in that. No, but now on your flesh. That's in your heart. He's put his Spirit in you. He's got a story he's written in you. You have a new story. He's written a story about you. Started before you were born, where it says in Psalm, he knew the length of your hands and your members. He planned you out from the very beginning. You're special. You really are. You are unique. Every time a new baby is born, God just gets excited. Wow. Completely different. Look what I did here. Then he sees all the ways he can show his life through you. Where will he put you at work? Who will he put in your family? What will he put around you? What kind of personality will he give you? He's designed it all. He's written the novel of your life. But it's made into a movie. Every day you get up, you get to act out the script for that day. It's already written for you. God knows everything, the end from the beginning. He's giving you a script. We don't know it. We just think I'm getting up. Something happens. Someone lies about you. Well, I'll get them. I don't know why they're going to treat me like that. They're not going to get, I'm going to, and we react out of our old life. We don't follow his script. We write our own script. Because we think we know better than God. He says we should forgive, but no, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to get even. There's no right to say that. And so we get off script. But God's a great director. And when he sees you getting off script, you know what he does? Cut, cut, cut. We're going to do another take on that one. And you find yourself 3 months later going through a similar situation. Because God wants to show himself through you, but you messed it up. You said the wrong lines. You spoke your own lines. He said, no, I want the new life to come through. I want my life to come through. That's why I put that unloving person in your life. I want you to show my love. Now, here is your final fill-in. The themes of the movie of your life is love, integrity, forgiveness, excellence. The things that we wrote in the book. This is the multicolored aspects of God. He wants to show his love through you. He wants to show his integrity. He wants you to forgive people. He wants you to live everything as unto the Lord. Doing everything as unto the Lord. That's excellence. That's the theme of the movie. That's his intent. That's why you're born. That's why you're going through the circumstance you're going through. But I miss it. I think it's all about me. Why is it God helping me? Why does he take that person out of my life? Why has that happened to me? We don't know. See, when God writes a script, he's a good author. You'd never read a book if you read the first chapter. The man got up, it was a beautiful day, went to bed. Second chapter, got up again, beautiful day, went to bed. Third chapter, got up, read a beautiful day, went to bed. No, there's tension, there's conflict, there's so many different aspects and situations. The things that are happening in your life is not by chance. The unloving person in your life is not one to remove. That's part of the script. Now he wants you to show his love. That's the theme of the movie. Show his love. Not based on what you get back, but giving to the needs of others regardless of what comes back. You're at work. You're sort of at a place, everyone's sort of cheating, a little cutting the corner here, a little compromise. Now, either you go along with that or you say, you know what, this is not what the script is. God's allowed me to be in this situation right now to stand in integrity. And I'm going to show God's truth in this. And I can confess my fault. I don't have to be afraid to say who I am. I can say, you know what, I was wrong in that. I messed up there. You can be who you are, because that's part of the script. You're showing what God is. So we live up to what we know, but where we fall short, we freely confess to God and others. That's why all these things are happening in your life. He's written your script. And he wants you to act it out day by day, showing the themes of love, integrity, forgiveness. That's why the wrong is done in your life. So you can show how God forgives. Do you see it? I mean, then it's exciting. Then every day you get up, you go, wow, I wonder what God's got planned for me today, because the themes are love, integrity, forgiveness, and excellence. And I'm going to have a chance somehow today to show his invisible attributes to the world. He's shining through my particular life, showing himself like no one else could. So Lord, help me. Help me to walk in your spirit. See, what you have to do when you're a director, he's behind the lens. I was at a meeting yesterday, and they were talking about a girl who worked behind the scenes, and they talked about her being behind the lens. That's how you have to get in your own life. Don't get so caught up in what's happening on stage that you don't realize God's got a movie here. What's he seeing behind the lens? And so you have a different perspective. You have a deeper perspective. You're not reacting to everything that's happening because you realize there's a purpose in what's happening here. God is the great director, has written a script that I'm living out now. And he's got a purpose for this script, and it's to show forth the themes of his character. And so, Lord, help me be faithful to the script and draw on his power. And step back behind the lens. So many people can't do that. They're right so much in the moment that they lose their temper and they react and they swear or they cheat or whatever. Get upset with someone and they won't forget someone. They hold the grudge. They got to see, listen, get back behind the lens. God is the director. And if you mess it up, he's going to have to put you through it again. Because he's going to get it right. You say, well, why is this always happening to me? Well, you haven't got it right yet. God is meticulous. He's making a movie. Now, when will the movie be seen? Let me close with these verses in Ephesians. So he starts right back where we started, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. We already talked about that. We were dead because of sin, but now he's given us life. By grace you've been saved. This is not something you've done. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your physical body and its feet is on the earth, but your spirit is joined with God's spirit, and you're connected with him in the heavenlies. Your spirit transcends this earth. Your spirit transcends time, space. So in your spirit, you're already one with God. Now he's wanting to express it through your body here on earth. So he tells us that we're sitting together in heavenly place. Now here's the key verse, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, this is just my own human thinking. But I think when we get to heaven and we're living out our life and all that's there in that realm, God might say, Monday night's movie night. What movie's showing on Monday night? Well, we're playing The Life of Larry Smith. Wednesday, it's Barb Nicholson. Friday, we're going to have the movie of Key Fly. In the ages to come, he's going to show forth his glory. Now, don't get too worried, because God's a good editor. I think he's just going to edit out all the bad times we've missed, and he's just going to show how God's grace was in you. and how you showed his glory in that situation. You were in a bad situation. You didn't have any natural peace, but you showed a peace that goes. Everyone else said, that's a peace beyond understanding. I don't understand that peace. And then he wants to give us a peace that goes beyond understanding. And I hope that my movie's a long play movie. You know, I want to get it right enough times that there's a little substance to the movie of my life. I don't want my life just to last for 2 minutes up there. Here's the life of Ken Miles. Don't blink because you're going to miss it. Because he missed it a lot. But here's how, when he got it right. This is what I was really shooting for. He walked it out here. And it's a display for all the world to see in ages to come. Now, it may not be that way, of course. But you know what? Spiritually, it's like that. Somehow, he's going to show how his grace through you brings glory to God, how you made him visible. And for eternity, ages to come, there's going to be an ongoing praise to the glory of God because we have shown forth his life. We made his attributes visible. Could not have happened unless you were there. Aspects of God's life will never be shown unless you live it out. Because you're unique. Everything about you is unique. And he's got a plan. He's the author of your life. And so just relax and say, God, you give me the words to say. You give me the response when I'm going through this situation. I didn't realize you're going to write this into my life. But you know what? It's okay because I'm going to show your themes through this. I wonder if we could stand together this morning. Well, when I was thinking about these truths, it really helped me this week. And I hope it helps you, that you can step back behind the lens of your life and just see what God is seeing as you're living out your life. And live it in the power of God. And die to yourself and your old responses to show the new life that's within you. And God's so gracious that he just keeps working with us. Keeps working with us. Over and over again. Do you feel this in your heart? Is there a desire in you to be a good actor? to show forth his life? If you do, just hold your hand up. Just hold it up and keep it up. Just as you're saying, you know, I really want to do this. I want to find my purpose. This is my purpose in life. This is why God created me. To show his life through me. So just hold it up. And just sort of like say, Lord, here I am. So Lord, right now I ask, as we hold our hands up, use us for your honor and glory. May we respond through life situations the way you want us to, that you would be seen through our life, that the light would shine to many, many people. We could be salt and light in this world. That our light would shine before men. They would see our good works and glorify you. Because you are working through us and allowing your life to come through. Lord, transform us. May we be changed in this moment. May this understanding just open our minds to what it's all about. May we not be the same after this morning. May we face life differently. Would we see situations that come into our life differently, Lord? And may we be empowered by your Spirit to respond differently and allow you to live your life through us. Lord, may we be excited every morning when we get up. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord.